That beautiful song we just finished singing, all creation worships you. How beautiful. You can just tell the soul and the mind of the person who's singing it, even knowing nothing about him. His name is Tony Melendez, and he has no arms. I'm not sure if he wrote the song, but he's singing it, and he's playing the guitar. With his feet, playing the guitar with his feet, singing a song. He has performed for, I believe, the last three popes, certainly the current pope and the one before. And you can tell, here is a man who, despite the major challenge of not having arms and all the challenges that go with that, here's a man who made up his mind to love God and to love his neighbor. There is no way anybody can sing all creation worships God without loving God and loving his neighbor. Here's a man who's made a commitment that his words give praise to God. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's a commitment. I'm calling today's teaching the 37th parallel. The 37th parallel. A parallel, like a parallel line, is a line that is equidistant from another line. Two parallel lines, you draw them like in a rectangle. The two long sides are parallel and the two vertical sides are parallel. Most houses are built with the walls parallel. This is the 37th parallel. And why am I doing this? Because I want to show you a way for each of us from where we are to draw closer to God. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 14, he says, "Narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to life, and few people find it." His way, his burden is light, and his yoke is easy. But it's a narrow, straight path from where we were to where we are. From where we are to where we walk more in the fullness of Jesus Christ and more in life and more in life. More in light and more in life. It's a narrow, straight way. It's the way that Jesus taught and declared. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He is the way, that narrow, straight way that we can't deviate to the left or to the right. That each of us has a responsibility to understand the truth of the Word of God. That we have a responsibility for ourselves to find out what truth is. Not say I believe this because my pastor said it. Not to say I believe this because my ancestors believe it. Or my teachers in school. Or my college professor who is so smart, or a Nobel Prize winner, makes no difference. Each of us has a responsibility to find that way, that truth, which leads to life. And that way is straight and narrow. It is as a parallel path. If you see the way going from where you are right to the Father God, it's a parallel path. There's a left side and there's a right side. And I'm calling that the 37th parallel based on my teaching today of what scriptures I'm going to stress. Now, for those of you who are a little bit older than I am, or close to my age, you might remember the 38th parallel. The 38th parallel, especially for those who are from Asia, is very well known. The 38th parallel is an imaginary line drawn around the world, 38 degrees from the equator, 38 degrees. Every degree from the equator is an imaginary line. We call these lines of latitude. And on the 38th one north of the equator, 38 degrees north of the equator, there's an imaginary line, 38 degrees from the equator, all the way around the world. And it's very famous, especially in Korea. Because what happened is that at the ending of World War II, the Japanese forces in Korea had to surrender. And so the Soviet Union and the United States brokered a deal where all the Japanese forces north of the 38th parallel would surrender to the Soviet forces. And all the forces south of the 38th would surrender to the United States forces. And so they both took their authority and their dominion and their influence over these two areas. One, of course, then that they both started rebuilding the countries in their image and likeness as best as they could. So north of the line, we have a communist territory, which became North Korea. South of the line, we have a democratic, capitalistic-based country, which became South Korea. And the Korean War was all based around that. So that 38th parallel was a dividing line. Still is today a dividing line. North of it is one culture. South of it is another culture. It's a very important line. You know, you stray across the line to the other side and you can find yourself in a lot of hot water. Right? As we see in the news periodically. Well, the 37th parallel is the same thing. Except it's not dividing a country. It's dividing you and me in our progress towards God. And it's giving us a straight, narrow path towards Jesus Christ. We're fond of saying we love God. We want more of Him and less of us. More of Him and less of us. Well, we get more of Him as we stay within this 37th parallel that I'm going to talk about. And every time we go outside this parallel line, we delve into the area of the enemy of God, into Satan and the works of darkness. We're actually bowing our knees to the God of this world. We're actually sinning. Whether or not we realize it, we're moving into sin. Now, if you don't know that you're sinning, then as far as God is concerned, it doesn't affect your fellowship with God. But it opens up the door to the demonic attacks in your life. Even if you don't know you did it. Even if you don't know it's wrong. You cross out of this 37th parallel to the right or to the left of the line or to the right, which gives you the parallel, right? A line has dimension, there's a left side and a right side. You cross to the left or the right, you're going to be in the area of the works of darkness. You're going to be in an area where demons, devils, and evil spirits can attack you, where the wages of sin can pounce up in you. And so that's what I want to talk today about, showing you this one path. I mean, there are many scriptures one can use to describe this path. Today, I'm going to select a set of scriptures, and you'll see why I'm calling it a 37th parallel. So we want to stay inside this 37th parallel. So we'll start by looking at the first reason I called it the 37th parallel, which is if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22, verse 37. You notice the 37? 22, verse 37. So you'll find Matthew in the book of Matthew. Helpful Harry here. Okay. So Matthew 22, verse 37. And you all know this, I'm sure. Maybe you don't know the particular reference, but you know it. Matthew 22, 37. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Then in 39, "And the second commandment is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Elsewhere it says, "The entire law and the prophets rely on these two laws." 37, "You shall love God with your heart, soul, and mind." And in another reference, there are 8 references to this particular scripture. It says, "And your strength. You love God with your heart, soul, mind, and with your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So that's the first scripture, Matthew 22, 37. Is the first scripture in our 37th parallel. It says, you must love God with your heart, soul, and mind. And we must love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, when it says you must love God with your heart, soul, and mind, and with your strength. The strength really refers to the body. All that you're doing should be devoted to God. Our lives should be built around God. So all of our strength should be focused directly or indirectly on God. Why indirectly? Because God may say, go build a house. And in building the house, you're building it. Or build an ark. You're building it because God said to do it. The work you're doing is loving God. Because you're doing it because he said for you to do it. Now, in that one scripture, it tells you that you are a five-part being. Your being has five parts. You, it says, you must love God. You are a spirit. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We're a spiritual being, just as God is. And the spiritual being lives in an outer shell called a body. This body is the outer shell, the outer man. It's an earth suit that we put on. When spiritual man is on earth, comes to earth, he puts on an earth suit. If we didn't have on our earth suit, we would be like the invisible man. You all know the invisible man from comic strips and cartoons. He's invisible so they can't see him. So that people can see him, he wraps himself around with what looks like Band-Aid or something. So he's wrapped around in bandages. You see this guy walking there with his, you know, bandages and so forth. Take out the bandages, you don't see anything. You may see his suit, but there's no face. So you wrap himself around with bandages. When we are on earth, we are spiritual beings, so people can see us, we put on our body. Now, that body is not simply so that people can see you. That body gives you the right to be on earth and to have authority on earth that God gave us. It gave us the legal right to be on earth and the legal right to declare that God gave earth to us. God gave earth to mankind. And God gave to each of us, to each man, to each woman, the right to have authority and dominion over everything that moves upon the earth through prayer, through spiritual commands. Whether it be weather, whether it be animals, whatever it is, we have that spiritual power to change things. That's why people pray. And Christians can pray for anything. They do pray for anything. They pray for protection. They pray for good weather. They pray for all kinds of things. But many times when they pray and it happens, it's so overwhelmingly wonderful, they wonder if their prayer really has something to do with it. You know, like if there is a hurricane coming, a typhoon, and you pray, and suddenly the typhoon goes someplace else, and people are apt to think, was that a coincidence? Or did my prayer actually have something to do with it? But because we believe the Word of God says that we have authority and dominion, and because we're to pray in faith, praying in faith means that when you get the answer, you believe your prayer has something to do with it. Otherwise, why pray if you think it's a coincidence when it comes to pass? So, we love God with our heart, soul, and mind, and with our strength. So we see that we're a spiritual being, and there's an inner man. And the inner man is a spirit, and the spirit has a soul, and the spirit has an inner heart. And so, when people, it says, for the spirit man to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. So the spirit man takes off the outer suit and stands. And if you could see in the spiritual realm, the spiritual man would look exactly as the outer man is, except he wouldn't be old, he wouldn't be weak, he wouldn't be sickly, but he'd have two arms, two legs, and a head. That's the spiritual man, the inner man. So you are a five-part being. You're a spirit, you have a heart, spiritual heart, a soul, and the outer man is a body which has a physical heart and a brain. So there's a one-to-one correlation between the outer man and the inner man. The inner man is a spirit, the outer man is a body. The inner man has a spiritual heart, the outer man has a physical heart. The inner man has a soul, the outer man has a brain. Outer man, the brain has a mind, and the inner man, the soul, has a conscience. So the mind is to the brain what the conscience is to the soul. So there's a one-to-one correlation between them. So we look at this and we say, in here, you, the spiritual man, should love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. When we choose to do that, that establishes the line. That 37th parallel leading towards God the Father, leading towards Jesus. On one side, we have a line of love. So love is one side of that line. Love is the left side of the line. Because the left side of the line, see, if I'm facing my Heavenly Father, my left goes to His right hand. And my right will be going to His left hand. So love goes towards His right hand. And we'll talk about that in a while. So one side is love. No, still talking about love, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 10:37. Now you see why we're calling this the 37th parallel. Matthew 22:37. Love God with your heart, soul, and mind. And then we're in Matthew 10:37. So in Matthew 10:37, it says, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." In other words, love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. In the category of neighbor would be your family. Everybody who's not God or you would be in the category of your neighbor. Love them, but don't love them as much as you love God. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. No, that's what Adam did. Adam loved God, but Adam loved his wife. And when the choice came to do you do what God says to do, which is do not eat the forbidden fruit, or does he do what his wife wants him to do, which is eat the fruit, he chose to eat the fruit. In choosing to eat the fruit, he chose his love of his wife over his love for God. He got outside of the line. So in the 37th parallel, it's loving God and loving your neighbor, but never loving your neighbor more than you love God. It's a question of consecration, that we love God so much that nothing ever comes between us and God. Now, when it says love your neighbor as yourself, that tells you, first of all, you need to love yourself. Each of us needs to love ourselves. The devil doesn't want us to love ourselves. So what does the devil do? The devil bombards your mind with thoughts of criticism about yourself, dislike about yourself. The devil tries to get you to sin. And then when you sin, he says, "What a terrible person you are. How could you do that? You call yourself a Christian and you did that." He tries to get you to sin and then rub your nose on it. He tries to get you to sin and then get you to feel guilty about it. But God says Jesus took all your sins. And if you love God, which we all do, then we have to believe him and trust him. And when we love God, we look at his word, and his word says all your sins have been paid for, past, present, and future. So we don't condemn ourselves. If we love God, we focus on his word that says there's no condemnation for you. So we love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves. To love ourselves, we must be free of guilt and condemnation. We must be free of all the voices of those demons called self-hatred. For self-hatred will keep telling you things about yourself. That self-hatred will say, you're lacking in this and you're lacking in that. You're not as smart as you should be. You're not as rich as you should be. You're not as beautiful as you should be. You're not as sweet as you should be. No matter what you do or what you have, the voices of self-hatred will never be satisfied. Because they don't want to be satisfied. They want to keep bombarding you with accusations so that you'll walk in guilt and condemnation, which will detract from your faith. The guilt and condemnation will take you outside of that 37th parallel, will take you out of love. Because when you start accepting the guilt and condemnation, you start criticizing yourself. You start to criticize the apple of God's eye. God says, you're the apple of my eye. God says, you're so precious and wonderful. And then you start criticizing yourself. You're criticizing God's workmanship. You're criticizing what Jesus shed his precious blood for. And God doesn't want you to do that. If you love him, then we have to believe his word and not to criticize ourselves and walk in that love for ourselves. So first, if we love God, then we love ourselves. And we love ourselves because God first loved us. And then as we love ourselves, then we can love our neighbors. We can never truly love our neighbors if we are walking in self-hatred. If we're walking in self-criticism, if we're walking in guilt and condemnation, then as we try to love our neighbors, those voices of guilt and condemnation will come and accuse you and point out things that you're doing that are less than perfect. Because we're all less than perfect at this point in time. We all make mistakes. We all commit sins. So to walk in love, we love God, we love ourselves, then we love our neighbor. And we do that as best as we can. We do our best, and grace does the rest. We do our best to love God. We do our best to love ourselves. We do our best to love our neighbor. And then grace does the rest. So you can walk in his blessings. You can walk in that 37 parallel. Even though you're making mistakes, grace pulls you back into the line. So we've talked about loving God. We've talked about loving ourselves. Now let's talk about loving your neighbor. How do you love your neighbor? Well, we love our neighbor by esteeming them more than ourselves. We esteem them more than we do ourselves. Esteems mean to hold in higher regard. So if we love our neighbors, we try to hold them in higher regard than ourselves. We consider their thoughts and their desires and their actions and their goals, and we try to help them achieve those things. Even though it may be an inconvenience to us, even though the timing when they need help may not be convenient for us, even though we may need the money, we esteem them higher, so we give them that money because they have a big need for it. We hold them in higher regard than we do ourselves. So we walk in this 37th parallel, knowing on one side, I'm calling it the left side, we need to walk in love. If you're outside love, you're exposing yourself to the attacks of the enemy. You stay inside love, and then you can reap all the benefits of walking in love. If we happen to stumble and fall outside of the line, then grace pulls us back in, because we do remember and declare that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, and that we should count ourselves dead to sin. So we try to stay within the walk of love. If you fall outside, you let grace pull you back in. So you'd never run from God. Because running from God is running from love. If you're running from love, you're running outside the 37th parallel. So you'd never run from God. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter how terrible things seem, no matter how many sins you've committed, always pick yourself up and run towards God. As we do that, we remain in the love walk and we have benefits of love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, love never fails. No matter what you're doing, if you keep walking in love, you will never fail. No matter what you're attempting to accomplish, you keep walking in love and you will never fail. Because love never fails. Perfect love casts out all fear, even the fear of failure. Love never fails. As we continue to walk in love, our faith becomes more powerful, which means our prayers become more powerful, which means we achieve more through prayer. Why is that? Because as you know, faith works by love. Galatians 5:6 says faith works by love. So one cannot be a powerful person of prayer, a powerful person of faith, if you're not a powerful person of love. And we move towards that point of being a powerful person of love by understanding that the scripture says, if you commit any sin, just one, it's the same as breaking the whole law. You know, you might say, well, all I did was commit one small sin. I told a white lie. Right? It's as if you're breaking the whole law. And that's important to remember. Because especially when we understand that the blessings of God come through partnership, you can have every promise of God for health, for finances, for relationships. Whatever you need, God has promised it to you. It all belongs to you. You can pray for it and receive it, but it takes a partnership. Every promise of God has one or more conditions. If you meet the condition, you get the promise. That's partnership. So all the blessings of God come through partnership. What's partnership like? Well, partnership is like around here, we're very big on doing affirmations. So if there's a challenge in our bodies, we look at the scriptures, for example. Well, let's say the one that says if you're challenged with sickness, you have someone anoint you with oil. So you get somebody to anoint you with oil, and the scriptures say, if you've been anointed with oil, then God will restore you. Your sins are forgiven, God will restore you. So because we believe that, we got anointed with oil, that's partnership. And having been anointed with oil, we believe we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We believe the healing belongs to us. That's partnership. So then we start declaring, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24. We keep declaring it. And so we're big in doing that. And so we do that and we get our healing. And almost everybody here, at least everybody who's been here a while, has miracles of healing that have come because they declare, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So sometimes we find somebody who's challenged, they're not getting rid of it, and they won't do affirmations, and you can't get them to do affirmations, and it's very tempting to say, well, you know, this person is not doing their affirmations, they're not partnering with God, so their healing won't come. And so we're thinking their healing won't come. So it's very easy to look at them and say, look at them through eyes of self-righteousness. And says, I got my healing because I did my affirmations. You're not getting it because you're not doing yours. And it's very easy to move into self-righteousness, which is me and my partnership have produced the results we want. But they're not getting it because they're not partnering with God. Now, is there truth in that? There's a lot of truth in that. But the problem is, because of that truth, it's very easy to come out of love and to move into self-righteousness. We always have to remember that God loves that person who's not doing the affirmations as much as he loves you. And we always have to remember, even though that person is obviously less than perfect because they're not speaking God's word, less than perfect in the area of healing, even though they're less than perfect in the area of healing because they're not speaking God's word, we're also less than perfect in many areas. And so, because we're less than perfect, we rely on grace. We do our best in the terms of, for example, affirmations, and grace does the rest. And that person also, just as they have challenges, that person could be us if it were not for grace. If it were not for the grace of knowing, understanding, and declaring affirmations, that exact person might be the exact situation you could be in. So it's always good to remember, there but for the grace of God, go I. Because if we ever forget that, it's very easy to walk in self-righteousness. And self-righteousness just destroys the love walk. So as we continue on this 37th parallel, as we continue to live in Matthew 22:37, loving God, loving ourselves and loving our neighbor, as we continue to live in Matthew 10:37, which is, I'm not going to love anything more than I love God, then we get the benefits of love. We never fail in what we do. of faith becomes powerful because it works by love. And in Ephesians 3, verse 19, says that you continue that love walk filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. See, God lives in our spirit. But remember, the spirit has a veil, has a heart. The spirit has a heart. You think, what does the spirit want a heart for? The physical body, we understand, needs a heart. Because in the physical body, the physical heart pumps blood throughout the body. And you need blood to live. Why do you need blood to live? Because the Bible tells you the life is in the blood. So the physical man has a physical heart which pumps blood throughout your being, and that's how you stay alive, because life is in the blood. But did you ever wonder how the life got in the blood? How did the life get in the blood? The Bible tells us, for the spirit to be absent from the body means the body is dead. When the spirit leaves the body is dead. Spirit man no longer needs the body. When the spirit leaves the spirit takes life. Because the life is coming from God. And God is in you. Well, it's the spiritual heart which matches up with the physical heart. And the spiritual heart pushes the life of God into the blood in the physical heart. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart, your spiritual heart, with all diligence. For out of it flows all the issues of life. They flow out two ways. Through your mouth, through your tongue. But they flow out as life from the spiritual heart floods the blood in the physical heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Why guard your heart with all diligence? Proverbs 4:23, I believe. Proverbs 4:23. Why guard your heart with all diligence? And the Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That the engrafted word in your heart sets you free. The engrafted word in your heart is the word of God in your heart, and it sets you free. The word of God in your heart, in your spiritual heart, sets you free. Because life is in the word. So that brings us to the right side of the line that is the 37th parallel. The left side of the line, picture this straight, narrow line leading up to God the Father, leading up to Jesus. Straight, narrow line. The left side of that line is love. Matthew 22:37, Matthew 10:37. But the right side are the words you speak. When you walk in love and when your words are godly, you're in the 37th parallel, and everything you do moves you closer to God. Everything you do moves more into the blessings of God. Everything you do brings you more into all the blessings of a life that's better than you ever imagined. Everything you do when you're walking in that path. But when your words deviate from the 37th parallel, when your words become ungodly, it pulls you away from it. So, Matthew 12:37, you are justified by your words. By your words are you justified. How important is that? Well, justified means just as if you never sinned. Jesus lived without sin. And he lived in great power with all his need met and meeting every need of every person that came to him. Because he had no sin. The Bible is telling us, you live as if you have no sin by the words of your mouth. Jesus paid to take all your sins away. They're gone. Spiritually, they're all gone. But how do you live in the reality of the spiritual fact that all your sins are gone? You do it by the words of your mouth. So as your words are words that come from God, as your words are the word of the Bible planted in your heart, as you speak those words, it enables you to walk a life that is better than you have ever imagined. It enables you to walk a life. That's in Ephesians 3:20. Above and beyond anything you dare ask, hope, or think. Because as you live by the words of your mouth, as you're justified by the words of your mouth, you live as Jesus did. Because we're Christians, followers of Christ. We imitate him. He is the Son of God. He is the first Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God, But he died so we could become into the family. So you and I can live as adults in the family of God. We live as adults in the family of God by the words we speak. The words we speak. Matthew 12, 37 says, you live justified by those words. You live in all the power that Jesus paid for by those words. And I want to stress that again by one more. Matthew 5, 37 says, let your words be yea and nay. Anything else is of the devil. Jesus is saying, let your words be yes to everything God says, which corresponds to by your words you shall be justified. Let your words be no to everything else. If God didn't say it, let it be no in your life. Because entire scripture says, by your words you're justified, or by your words you're condemned. When our words are yes to what the devil says, when our words are yes to what mammon says, then that negative effects, the wages of sin, can affect us. But as long as our words are what God says, as long as our words are what the Bible says, then we live justified by it. So the left side of the line, going up to the right hand of the Father, is the love walk. The right hand side are the words going up to his left hand. A line, on the left of the line is Matthew 22, 37, the love walk. On the right hand side is Matthew 12, 37. You're justified by words, and you want to stay in here. You want to stay in the love walk, speaking words of love, speaking God's word. Every time we speak a word which is not what God wants us to say, we're either hurting somebody or hurting ourselves. It may not be obvious in the short run, but in the long run, it will hurt somebody. But when we focus on saying what God says, then we get his benefits. The benefits, here's some of the benefits of saying what God says. Psalm 103, verse 20. The angels obey us. We should picture ourselves as having a group of angels around us waiting for us to tell them what to do. Waiting for us to tell them what to do. I remember this lady once told this man that she knew very well. They had worked together, ministered together, and she said to him, you know, I have this vision, and it's kind of humorous. She said, it's like the end of the shift, and all the angels are changing shift. Many of us have worked on shift duties, and we know what that is like. New shift is coming in, replacing the old shift. It's very busy, right? And the current shift is passing on tips to the new shift coming in. Watch out for this and watch out for that. Am I right? And all the angels coming off are tired and droopy, and they're saying, watch out for that man. He will run you ragged with his prayers. He will just keep you working nonstop with his prayers. And I thought that was kind of humorous, okay? So I always had the picture of that's the way we should live. Keeping the angels so busy that when it's shift-changing time, the old angels are warning the new angels, you know, go work for somebody else. Don't work for that guy. He will really get you worn out. Which, of course, angels don't get tired, but still a humorous picture. Joshua 1 verse 8 tells you that the word of God remains in your mouth. You will prosper and have success in everything you do. If you keep the word of God in your mouth, you'll prosper and have success in everything you do. That's what God told Joshua when he was replacing Moses, replacing the greatest general in history. Full of challenge with fear, God says, don't be afraid. You'll have success. Just keep my word in your mouth. And that's the 37th parallel, the right side, keeping God's word in your mouth. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says that your tongue is a tree of life. Your tongue is a tree of life. When you speak God's word, it's releasing life into your life and life into the things you're talking about. Bible says, speak only words which bring grace to the hearer. Grace is God's help when they don't deserve it. We are to speak only words which brings God's help to people who don't deserve God's help, which is all of us. None of us deserve God's help, but we all want God's help. We all want grace. And so we get back, we receive what we give. So we give grace. We speak words which bring grace to people, and we get back more grace. And how do we do that? We can only speak words of grace when we speak God's word. So in every situation, try to say about the person what God would say about them. We try to say to them what God would say to them. Because in so doing, your tongue becomes a tree of life. Now remember, we said, guard your heart with all diligence. So when you walk in love, you're guarding your heart with all diligence. And as you walk in love, your spiritual heart pumps life into your physical body. I just read recently that there is a man who just set a world record of a running, of the length of time of running. He ran 1 mile or more than 1 mile every day for over 45 years. For 45 years, he never missed a day. He ran with, I think they said at different points in time, had broken bones on 10 different occasions. Once ran with a fractured hip. Went to the hospital, same day he came out from the hospital, he ran. He ran the day before and he ran the day he came out. He wasn't there for one day, one night. Ran, went to the hospital, they did something with his hip, came back out, he ran again. Did not miss for 45 years. That's pretty phenomenal. Pretty phenomenal. No matter how stressful the day was, he still managed to run. He won the record because of commitment. Now, people have said, Pastor Joshua, how can you possibly have gone over 40 years without doctors, hospitals, and medicines, without getting sick? And my answer is, they say, you must have great faith. And my answer always is, the Bible doesn't say people are destroyed for lack of faith. It says they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I've had the knowledge of understanding that if I try, notice the word try, if I try to stay on the 37th parallel, if I try to stay between walking in love and speaking love, if I try to live there, it takes me straight towards God, and all His blessings are manifested in my life. And that's just something I plopped into my spirit and my mind years ago. I saw the scriptures. You know, when I got saved, I said, God, I was going to hell and you saved me, so I'll do anything you say. Whatever you say. And then I saw Matthew 22:37, which says you must love God and you must love your neighbor as yourself. So I've tried to do that. Have I always been successful? No. But grace brought me through when I wasn't successful. And it says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. So I've always tried to speak blessings and life with my tongue. Have I always been successful? No. But the times when I failed, God knew in my heart I didn't want to fail. I wanted to always speak God's word, and grace saw me through. And that's so day by day, I've moved into that place where it's hard for the devil to intimidate me with anything. It's really hard. Because I've gone over so many challenges and so many bumps in the road. But I've always done it by staying on the 37th parallel. Staying on the 37th parallel. Love on the side and the words of my mouth. And between walking in love and speaking love, that's how I've set my heart up in the Lord. And that's how I've tried to proceed. That's why today I'm talking about the 37th parallel. Because what I want to say is the challenges in life, as you draw closer to the Lord, become bigger and bigger. You know, an expression is, higher level, bigger devil. We go from level to level. And as we go from level to level, from glory to glory, it's higher level, bigger devil. Which means we need to have experienced the success over them. We experience that success over them when we always remember the bottom line is always Are you walking in love if you're not confessed of the sin? Are you speaking God's word if you're not confessed of the sin? So that grace can pull you back into that straight and narrow place that I'm calling the 37th parallel. And so I go through my day, my life, examining, was that love? No. Then forgive me, Lord. Let me get back into it. Were those your words? No. Then forgive me. Let me get back into it. And it is as simple as that. You take it one step at a time. And as you do it, and you get more and more victories over fear, and more victories over challenges, and more victories over your body, and more victories over the carnal desires of your body, and the sinful things your body wants to do, then you come to a point where it's hard for the devil to intimidate you. Because this is training. It's all training for the day when the devil is supposed to be afraid of you and not vice versa. God is raising up an army of whom the devil is going to be afraid. And God wants every one of us to be in that army. And the training ground is the 37th parallel. This line leads directly to God, to the El Shaddai, the God who's more than sufficient. That when you stay between speaking love and living love, that no matter what happens, you know your Abba Daddy is El Shaddai. He's a God who is more than sufficient for every challenge. Makes no difference if it's relationships or finances or resources or healing. God is more than sufficient if you stay between walking in love and speaking love. And we come to that point where Luke 1:37 becomes reality. Luke 1:37. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing is impossible to God. Nothing is impossible to God. The 37th parallel leads to a place where you know nothing is impossible to God because you're heading straight for God. Nothing is impossible to God. And you can live in that place where nothing is impossible to God, and when God be for you, who can be against you? And that's where you live, where nothing is impossible for you. Mark 9:23 tells you the same thing. It says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Well, you can only believe in your heart and remain in your heart if you're in the love walk. If you're outside the love walk, then your heart will condemn you. And 1 John tells us that if your heart condemns you, God can't answer your prayers. So you have to be in the love walk. And whenever you get outside it, confess your sins and get back into it. And one I love is Matthew 17:20. In fact, let's turn there. That's the last scripture I think we're going to look at. Matthew 17. Love walk leads you to this place, okay? Matthew 17:20. Starting in the second sentence. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. See, we don't need a lot of faith. You have tremendous faith. For you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and believe that you're going to heaven and that God is your Father, that's just incredible faith. If you can believe that, you have faith to move anything on earth. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Nothing shall be impossible for you. The 37th parallel brings you to a point where you understand nothing is impossible to God. And that, therefore, nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. So our 37th parallel leads us towards God. The love leads us towards God's right hand. And in his right hand, what do we see? In God's right hand represents power and authority and dominion. Jesus is seated at his right hand. You are seated with him in heavenly places. And God has given him, and therefore to you, power, authority, and dominion over everything that moves on earth and in the heavens. You have authority and power over all principalities, powers, might, dominions, and everything with a name. Everything that has a name must be obedient to you when you stay on the 37th parallel. Also in his right hand, Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. And in his right hand, pleasures forevermore. power and pleasures in his right hand. In his left hand, actually, this in Proverbs 3:16 is talking about wisdom, but we know that Jesus is wisdom. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus has been made for us wisdom. He's our wisdom. It says, in the left hand of wisdom are riches and honor. Riches are honor on the left hand of wisdom. Proverbs 3:16. Elsewhere it says several times, and his left hand will hold up your head. His left hand will hold up your head. When times are challenging, his left hand will hold up your head. So, we want to stay in that 37th parallel. Walk in between the love walk of Matthew 22:37, and be justified by the words of your mouth according to Matthew 12:37. So that come to that place in Luke 1:37, which says, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. We are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors, the Bible tells us, and we are seated with Christ far, far, far above everything that has a name. Everything in heaven and earth that has a name, we are seated. We are made to be victorious in every circumstance of life. Just stay in the 37th parallel. Amen? Amen. Praise God.